This is Fresh Air. Many of us grew up wondering what we'd ask for if we had three wishes. The idea of three wishes comes from an Arabian fairy tale about a street urchin named Aladdin who finds a magic lamp with a genie inside. If my guest Jeffrey Katzenberg had three wishes, one would be that the new Disney animated feature Aladdin is a big success. Katzenberg is the chairman of the Disney Studios. He oversaw the production of Aladdin and Disney's other recent animated musical features, The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast. He was formerly an executive at Paramount. Aladdin has songs by the team of composer Alan Menken and lyricist Howard Ashman, who also wrote the songs for The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast. But Ashman died before Aladdin was completed. Lyricist Tim Rice worked on the remaining songs. Here's one of the Menken Ashman songs, sung by Robin Williams, who does the voice of the genie.
Hey, clear the way in the old bazaar.
Hey, you!
Let us through, it's a bright new star. Oh, come, be the first on your block to meet his eye. Make way, here he comes, ring bells and the drum. Are you gonna love the sky? Prince Ali, fabulous he, Ali Ababa. Genuflect, show some respect down on one knee. Now try your best to stay calm, brush up your Sunday salon, and come and meet his spectacular coterie. Prince Ali, mighty is he, Ali Ababa. Strong as 10 regular men, definitely.
He faced the galloping hordes,
100 bad guys with swords,
who sent those goons to their lords.
Why, Prince Ali,
he's got 75 golden pants.
Don't they look lovely, June?
Purple peacocks, he's got 53.
Fabulous, Harry, I love the feathers. When it comes to...
One of the things I especially like about these recent animated films is that they seem to be carrying on the tradition of Broadway music in a way that Broadway isn't necessarily carrying it on itself. I mean, in terms of new songs. Whose idea was it to make these recent animation films musicals?
Walt Disney's.
Well, but you didn't have to go in that direction in the new ones.
Well, I tell you, Terry, the more we've learned about our heritage and the values that sort of the template that Walt Disney laid down, the more we've come to appreciate just how strong and how successful sort of those tentpole elements are. And the fact is that in the late 70s and early 80s, these movies stopped being musicals, which was not true of the original Disney films. And so we really did set out to, you know, follow in the footsteps of Walt Disney himself. There is no question that Howard Ashman and Alan Menken, you know, were the architects, were the guardian angels who really kind of showed us a path. I guess they really taught us how to make our movies sing again.
Howard Ashman, who was the lyricist on Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid and wrote lyrics to some of the songs on and the new movie Aladdin, died of AIDS. How did you find out that he was sick and what...
Howard is someone who had become a very close personal friend beyond just the working relationship, and came to me early on and said, I'm going to tell you something and take you into my confidence and then tell you I'm going to ask something of you, which, you know, I hope you can help me with. So he told me that he was sick and said that more than anything else, he wanted to finish his work and asked that beyond anything, money, anything, credit, he wanted the help that we could give him in seeing Beauty and the Beast and as much of the work in Aladdin through to completion as he could. And as Howard really deteriorated over a 6-9 month period of time, which was heartbreaking. At every turn, we tried to give him the means to do his work, and what I mean by that is that he lost the power to walk. We started we found a way to transport him around. He lost his vocal cords. We found someone who would, you know, be able to be by his bedside and you know, who he could whisper to and could carry on, could communicate for him. In the very end, he lost his eyesight. I mean, it was just a horrible, horrible, horrible experience. And all the way through it, he had this passion to see this movie through, to see Beauty and the Beast through to completion. And literally, a week after showing the sort of rough work in progress pieces to an extraordinary reaction here in New York, you know, which just brought incredible joy to him, he let go.
You mean he died after one of these screenings?
Well, a week after we really first sort of shared it with people outside of our little group of people making the movie.
What was it like for you when he was sick and he would be playing works in progress for you? Say you didn't like something he was working on. You felt close to him. He wasn't well. Did you have the heart to tell him you didn't like something if you didn't like it?
We enjoyed a wonderful collaboration. Howard was as tough an artist as I've ever come across, as opinionated, strong-willed, dogmatic, and I guess what I'd have to say to you in the end, Terry, is right. Whatever the process is, it was it was wonderful for both of us, and I think produced some extraordinary work. And I guess what I would say is that I got out of Howard's way.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, my guest is Jeffrey Katzenberg, the chairman of Disney Studios, and Disney's new animated feature film, Aladdin, has just been released. It will be opening nationally soon. It's already opened in a couple of cities. We're going to take a short break and then talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Jeffrey Katzenberg, the chair of Disney Studios. Have you, when you got to Disney, did you consciously set out to expand the animation part of the studio?
Well, you've got to go back and you know, start with the fact that the person that brought Michael Eisner and Frank Wells and myself to the Walt Disney Studio was Roy Disney, who is Walt's nephew. And the very first thing that Roy did when we arrived at Disney is literally took us by the hand down to the animation building and said to us, "This must be your first priority. It will take a very long time to rebuild this organization." At the time we arrived, there were 160 artists working there. They had just finished The Black Cauldron, which, for all its ambition, was a solid miss. And the place had become very dogmatic, and it had lost its spirit, and it lost its it wandered so off its track that it just really needed to be rebuilt from the ground floor up. And Roy was the one who said, you know, more than anything else, you know, more than whatever you do at Touchstone or in the television business or any of those things, this is the first priority. And, you know, with that wisdom, you know, we went about doing it. Today there are 700 artists, you know, that are between California and our studio down in Florida. And we've actually, this is the fifth movie in 5 years, which was always a dream of Walt's. Walt always wanted to build an organization that was large enough and deep enough that there could always be three or four movies in various stages of production at any one time, because they do take 4 years to make still. And so, as I say, you know, Roy really more than anyone else is the sort of architect of the renaissance of animation at Disney.
You've spoken out about movies costing too much and about too much of a focus on the blockbuster. Do you think that that's changing? Have you tried to change it at Disney?
Well, we have changed it at Disney. Whether others are changing or not is, I don't know, it's hard to tell. I think, you know, it is different personalities run, you know, their movie business differently. And you know, Warner Brothers, who makes very big, you know, sort of exciting action movies, is having a fantastic year. They do it very, very well. I can tell you we're no good at it. You know, they make a movie like Under Siege or Passenger 57 or Lethal Weapon 3 or, you know, Batman 2. They've had an unbelievable year. They make these sort of big, giant event, you know, boys with toys movies. Mm-hmm. And they have a great deal of success with it. I can tell you we're neither, you know, we're not any good at making them. And the few times we have, we haven't had a lot of success doing it. So I can't say that our way is right and theirs is wrong or vice versa in it. We're tackling the business on a way that, you know, seems to work for us. It's comfortable for us. It's a different kind of movie.
What kind of, is there a different kind of pressure on you as, you know, as the head of the studio when you're working on one of these multi-gazillion dollar pictures as opposed to, you know, an expensive but comparatively modest-sized picture? I mean, because it's really sink or swim when you're dealing with the blockbuster. Either you're going to make a fortune or you're going to make a small fortune and that's not going to be enough.
I guess, again, it's very much reflective of the personalities. For me,
yeah,
I don't sleep at night.
with which?
With making those big movies,
yeah,
that, uh-huh, where there's so much at stake.
Yeah.
It just is, it goes into life is too short. It's not worth it. And I'm not even that good at it, so I've stopped trying.
When you're overseeing a film that's in production, do you like to have that film tested before test audiences? And the, you know, then the audiences rate it, and then you could look at their feedback and decide whether the ending needs to be changed or whether something needs to be changed.
Well, I love seeing movies play with audiences, and I think it's invaluable. But I think the process has become so corruptive, I really more and more have discouraged, you know, filmmakers from doing anything other than putting their movie in front of audiences, but preview cards. And I refuse to actually even listen to what they call focus groups now. You know, they have these groups after the movie is over, 20 or 30 people that sit and sort of pick it apart and become instantaneous critics of it. I just find it's misleading, and I think it you can't make movies by committees that way, by testing, by researching. They have to be the vision of a, you know, of somebody with creative leadership, and, you know, be it the director or the producer or, you know, even a studio executive in it. So I think that process really has gone too far.
Jeffrey Katzenberg is the chair of the Disney Studios. Aladdin opens nationally Wednesday, November 25th. Here's another Menken and Ashman song from Aladdin.
Oh, I come from a land, from a faraway place, where the caravan camels roam, where they cut off your ear if they don't like your face. It's barbaric, but hey, it's home. When the wind's from the east and the sun's from the west and the sand in the glass is right, come on down, stop on by, hop a carpet and fly to another Arabian night. Arabian nights, like Arabian days. More often than not, are hotter than hot in a lot of good ways. Arabian nights, with Arabian moons. A fool off his guard could fall and fall hard out there on the dune.
This is Fresh Air.